The Lord. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Well, again, we just welcome those that are visiting Family Church. We're just so glad to have you. For those of you that are brand new, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman, and we just want to get you connected to God's plan for your life. And that, of course, is right here in the Word of God. Folks, it's not my opinion that counts. It's not our opinion that counts. It's not the institution of Family Church, you know, that is the utmost importance. How many of you know it's the Word of God? Amen. And so we just encourage everybody, especially if you're here for the first time, you know, we'd love to have you part of our church family. We'd love to see you every Sunday at 10:30. We just welcome you here, and we just trust people are going to be warm and friendly to you. And we want to see you walk out God's highest and best in your life. Amen. Well, turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to Genesis chapter 12. Now, we started to go over here last week, and we got interrupted by the Holy Spirit, had some things for us to hear. And of course, we believe this message is going to be the, you know, from the Holy Ghost, things that we need to hear. Amen. But go over to Genesis chapter 12, and today we're going to call this message, When God Honors You. When God honors you. You know, we've been told most of our life, rightfully so, and of course, we should emphasize this, and we do emphasize this around here, but we've been taught our whole lives, it's not uncommon for us to hear that we should honor God. How many of you believe that we should honor God? You know, honor the Lord your God, love the Lord your God, God first, seek him first and his righteousness. Amen. We've been taught how to, you know, honor the Lord, and we always preach from that side of things. But how many of you know that the Bible teaches us that God wants to honor us as well? Amen. And see, sometimes it seems almost downright foreign to us when we hear that the Lord wants to honor us. It almost feels wrong. It almost feels sacrilegious. Well, we got to get it, of course, you know, God's way, the Bible way. But I'm here to tell you, if you want to serve God with all your heart, if you will sincerely follow him and obey his word, the Bible says that God wants to honor you. The Bible says that God wants to exalt you. The Bible says that God wants to break burdens off your shoulders. Amen. It says that he wants to lift you up. He wants to help you. He wants to be there with you in the middle of trouble so he can deliver you out of it. Amen. What's going to happen when God honors you? Well, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to go back to the blessing of Abraham. How many of you here were here last Sunday? All right, we got into the blessing, and we looked over there. You know, we kind of went a different way around it last week. We were going to start here originally, but we saw all over there. We're going to go there again here in just a few minutes. But the Bible tells us over there in Galatians 3:9, it says, we that are Christ's, you know, we that are Abraham's seed are blessed with faithful Abraham. The Bible says that if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that you have received the blessing that was upon Abraham that God promised 4,000 or more years ago to Abraham. It now belongs to you and me. Amen. And so we said this last week, blessing is not something we're waiting for. You know, so many times we think blessing is something that we're hoping will happen to us. We think that blessing is when more money comes in or when we get a new car or a better job or something like that. The blessing of God is there no matter what is going on in your life. Amen. How many of you know we are blessed? It's not just something we're waiting to happen in our lives. Are you blessed here today? If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are blessed of God. And that means it is with you. The blessing is upon you. Even if things don't look like you're walking in blessing, even if things don't feel blessed, how many of you know God says you are blessed? And we're going to talk about that a little bit more here today. Go to Genesis chapter 12. You know, so many times we're waiting for something to happen. You know, we want something good to take place in our life, and God is, of course, for that. But sometimes we think that blessing is only upon us if things look good. God doesn't want us to just see the blessing. He wants us to believe the blessing. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so let's go back to where this blessing all began. Go to Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to start right there in verse 1, and we're going to go way back there again. I know we've been over here before, but we're going to go back here again. In Genesis chapter 12, this is where God started the whole plan of salvation to bring Jesus Christ into this world. This is where he started this plan by approaching a man by the name of Abraham, who would then go on to be faithful to create a nation that would become the nation of Israel, by which would be the bloodline in which God would use to bring the Savior into the world, who went to that cross, who shed his blood, who rose again 3 days later, and now we get to be called the redeemed of the Lord. We're washed in his blood. We can come into his presence with joy. Amen. And so this is where it all started. This is when God first approached Abraham, because when God wanted to change the whole world, he needed to find a faithful man to do so, to help him. Amen. And so look at here in Genesis 12 in verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram." Now remember, his name was Abram before it was Abraham. And for the sake of just understanding, I'm just going to say Abraham, all right? And so you know exactly who we're talking about. So Abraham, now it says in verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you." Everyone say, bless you. Now that's not because someone sneezed in here, right? This is talking about the blessing that God's putting on Abraham. He says, "I will bless you, make your name great, and you shall become a blessing." Verse 3, he says, "And I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. And in you shall all families of the earth be" what? "Blessed." And so God looked upon a world that was filled with sin. God looked upon a world that was, you know, subject to Satan, a world that was disobeying God, a world that was filled with death and war and sickness and all these burdens that were upon the earth. And God looked at all of us and he said, "You know what? I don't want the nations of the earth to be cursed. I want the nations of the earth to be blessed. I don't want people just living under a nonstop burden. I don't want them living under the curse. I want them living under the blessing of God." Amen. And so God never took pleasure in seeing that people were cursed. You know, God never wanted curse, you know, a curse to be upon anybody. And so God wanted to approach Abraham that it would start with Abraham, it would start with Israel, but then it would go to all the peoples of the earth so God could get his blessing upon each one of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? And the Bible says that through Abraham, all the nations or the peoples or the families, the King James says, the families of the earth would be blessed. God did not want humanity to be under the constant burden of depression. God did not want humanity to be burdened and destroyed with sickness and disease. God did not want humanity to be burdened and destroyed with, you know, anxiety or with lack. God didn't want, you know, humanity to be, you know, cursed with these emotional issues and struggles and all this stuff in life. God wants you blessed. God wants you blessed. The plan of God was to get this blessing that was on Abraham to get it to you. Now go out there, go back up there to verse 1. Now we're just going to go through this here a little bit. And I know this is some review for us. It says, "Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get you out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." Yeah. Abraham was 75 years old when God first approached him and said, "All right, Abraham, you've been living in your father's country. I'm going to remove you from there. Go and I'm going to show you a land of your own." How many of you know everything that Abraham had was there? All of his family was there. All the people that he loved was there. His belongings were there. His life was there. All right. But drop down to verse 4 real quickly. And it says, "So Abraham departed as the Lord spoke unto him." Isn't that awesome? That he was so quick to obey. Yeah. Folks, that is going to be the condition upon which this entire message is built. If you want to walk in the blessing of God like Abraham walked in, you're going to have to be just as quick to obey as Abraham was quick to obey. God found a faithful man who was quick to obey, who wasn't going to resist him, who wasn't going to, you know, choose his own path. He found a man that was going to say, all right, Lord, if you said it, I'm going to do it. I don't care how much it inconveniences me. It doesn't matter how uncomfortable it's going to get for me. I'm going to do it. Amen. What if we started doing that in our lives? Amen. Not saying that you're not saying that I'm not, but what if Christians just started to be as obedient as Abraham was obedient? What if we just started searching our lives and started realizing the places that we have obedience issues and just get those things corrected? Get them corrected. Amen. This is why Abraham got to walk in that blessing, because he was very quick to obey. And go up to verse 2, because this is what we're trying to get to. All right. In verse 2, he says, I will make of you a great nation. And what nation did that become? Oh, boy. I know. Are we still in the turkey stupor a little? You know, traditionally speaking, the Sunday after Thanksgiving has a tendency just to be a little slower. We have, of course, a lot of people traveling. And, you know, did anybody else do some heavy eating this week? Anybody? All right. 10 honest people. Praise the Lord. I'm sure you all were just eating, you know, soup and salad, you know, taking it real easy, watching, you know, what you ate and everything, right? Praise the Lord. And, you know, this Sunday has a tendency to be real slow. How many of you know we just got to go ahead? We got to set that aside. We got to rejoice. We got to receive the word with joy. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's why it's another reason why we're just shaking things up, doing a little something different here today. But notice he says, I will make of you a great nation. What great nation was that, church? That was Israel. Is Israel still on this earth here today? Yes, it is. And no matter who's trying to erase them off the earth, those people lose every single time. Israel is still here. Israel is still protected by God, because when God said he would bless them, he meant it. Amen. It doesn't matter if the Philistines tried or if the Nazis tried, no matter who it was that tried to eradicate the Jews, God always made sure that they came out on top. You know, the Nazis are gone, but the Jews are still here, right? The Philistines are gone, right? But the Israelite nation is still here. If God is that faithful to them, the Bible says that we have a better covenant established on better promises. That same God who made that promise to Israel, no matter what nation that wants to take them off the face of the earth, that same God is the God that's overseeing you, protecting you, providing for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says, I will make of you a great nation. It will become known as Israel. He says, and I will what? Bless you, Abraham, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. That word to bless there, when God said, I will bless you, it means literally to kneel down and to honor somebody. God knelt down and said, Abraham, I honor you. Or literally, it means to be marked with greatness. Or you could say it this way, branded with the favor of God. I love that. Branded with the favor of God. It means to respect someone. It means to honor someone. It means that they are chosen by God. Amen. It means that Abraham was chosen for a divine purpose. Hallelujah. He said, my blessing is upon you. Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome? He says, I have marked you with favor. You're the one, Abraham, that I'm going to deal with. Praise the Lord. And so now that blessing comes upon Abraham, even though Abraham has just moved away from everything. Yeah, he had some money. Yeah, he had a lot of animals and so on. But how many of you know he is now moving out into the wilderness, just going somewhere where God said he would show them? You know, Abraham didn't know where that final destination was. He moved out of his father's house. Here he is. He's going, you know, to do this. He's being faithful. But Abraham did not know where. All he had was the blessing of God with him. Amen. Amen. And we're going to take a look at that blessing of God. And then in verse 3, he says, I will bless them that bless you, Abraham. If they're good to you, God says, I'll be good to them. He says, but I will curse them that curse you. How many of you know that's still true to this day? If you curse Abraham, if you curse the nation of Israel, all these nations that have stood against Israel, God has made sure that they have all fallen. You know what the Bible predicts over there in Ezekiel 38 and 39? There's coming a day when Russia is going to stand against Israel. Persia, which happens to be modern day Iran, they're all going to come against Israel, and God says, I will see to it that they all fall in the Holy Land. Amen. It doesn't matter how big a country is. Doesn't matter how many nuclear weapons they have. God will make sure that Israel wins every single time. You say, well, Pastor, you make it sound that Israel can do no wrong. No, that's not what God says. God has put a blessing upon them, and God's going to honor that just like he's going to honor that in your life. Amen. Now, I want to show you this blessing. And now notice it says, in you, Abraham, shall all families of the earth be blessed. Who do you see when you look at that verse? Who do you see? Yeah, you see yourself in that verse, right? You and I are mentioned right there to Abraham. God says, I don't want them destroyed by burdens. I don't want them destroyed by depression. I don't want them destroyed in this life. I want all families on the earth to know this blessing, Abraham. I want them to be chosen. I want them to have my honor. I want them to have my respect. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Now go over to chapter 15. We're going to start looking at this blessing. We're going to start taking a look at this. God wanted all peoples to receive this blessing, just like Abraham. God wanted to take that curse and to lift it and replace it with a blessing. Yeah, God doesn't delight in seeing somebody cursed. He doesn't want to see people get crushed by burdens. He doesn't want people dominated with depression, sickness, and lack. Look at this over here in Genesis chapter 15, and let's go to verse 1. Amen. We are in these verses. Are you here today?
Yes.
I'll tell you what. I hope we didn't have too much pumpkin pie, you know, too much apple pie, or whatever it is. Praise the Lord. Let's get into this. Now go over to Genesis 15. I want to show you just what this blessing will do. It says this. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Fear not, Abraham. I am your shield, and I am your exceeding great reward." Remember, Abraham's out in the wilderness now, not quite sure where he's supposed to even be yet. He's just obeying God. God, the only thing God said to him is, get out from where you are right now. So many times we want God to give us the full picture of things. How many of you know God just wants to give you the next step to see if you'll be faithful to that step before he's going to reveal to you the next thing he wants you to do? Amen. So many of God's people, they don't know the plan of God for their life because they just simply haven't done that simple instruction that's right in front of them. You know, if God puts it in your heart, you know, to serve in the local church, that probably is not the end destination for you. God is going to give you that instruction to see if you'll obey it so he can open other doors for you in the future. When God tells you to tithe, it's not because tithing is the final destination for our lives, even though we will be tithers all of our lives. How many of you know tithing opens up doors and opportunities and other things that God wants you to do in this life? Amen. So many times we don't get to the fullness of God's plan because we don't obey those simple things that are right in front of us. If you're at odds with somebody in this life and you know in your heart you need to forgive them because there's things that will not open in your life until you do. Are you here today? If God tells you to leave your job and to take a lesser job, maybe it makes less money. Sometimes that happens. You know, if God has you in a place that, you know, maybe all the money that you want's not there, but if God has you there, stay there. Or if he opens another door for you and you know that's God, you want to go there. You got to know where God has you because it's going to open other doors in your future. He says out there, Abraham's out in this wilderness. He's moved away from everything he knows. And God speaks to him and just says, hey, I just want to remind you, you know, I'm your shield and your great reward. Isn't that awesome? God was saying to Abraham, he's saying, I'm going to reward you for your faithfulness. Even if things look a lot, you know, look very dry right now. Even if it looks like something's not happening for you, even like you feel like you're in the wilderness, he says, I just want to let you know I have a reward for those that'll be faithful. That's all Abraham had. He just had a promise and then this word that came to him saying, I'm your shield and I'm your reward. And it, look what Abraham says in verse 2. Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, behold, to me you have given no seed or children. And lo, one born in my house is my heir, meaning Eliezer. He's saying, this guy who's my servant is my heir. I have no children. Abraham saying, God, you're talking about raising a nation from me, but I'm 75 years old and I'm childless. Now I'm out in the wilderness. Hello? He's saying, you know, Lord, what are you going to do here? You know, because you're going to have to do something if you're going to raise a nation from me. And now look at verse 4. He says, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him again, saying, this Eliezer shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. God is saying, it's not going to be a servant in your house. It is going to be a child that is going to be born to you, Abraham, even in your old age. Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome? And then verse 5 is what we've got to really start looking at. And he brought Abraham forth. He brought him out and he takes him outside and said, look now toward heaven, meaning up into the sky. And of course, it was dark out. He says, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if you be able to number them or count them. And he said, God said to Abraham, so shall your seed be, right? Verse 6 is a verse that should resonate with every single one of us. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted it to Abraham for righteousness. Think about what's going on here in this picture. Abraham is out in the wilderness. He doesn't even know where he's going. He's left his family. He's left all that he's known. He's 75 years old. And the only thing he has is a promise that a nation would come, you know, from him, right? He's saying, all I have is this Eliezer fella, you know? You know, he's standing there out in the wilderness, looking up into a dark sky, and the only thing he has with him right there is the blessing of God. Amen. What are you going to do in your life when everything seems to be reduced? It's just you and nothing else. What are you going to do when you're looking out into the darkness and it seems like nothing is happening for you? But you need to remember, the one thing you've got with you is what? The blessing of God. There's a lot of times in this life when you're following the Lord, when you're, you know, being as faithful as you know how, that it seems that the only thing you've got in this life is yourself and the promise or the blessing of God. Abraham's standing there, you know, and he's looking up into the stars, and God says, now you tell those stars if you're able to count them. You look up at those stars, Abraham, and tell them if you know how to figure them out. Look up at those stars, Abraham, and see if you can explain everything. How many of you know we still can't explain everything? All right. God was saying to Abraham, that blessing that is upon you can do far more than you possibly could imagine. Even when you are looking at nothing, meaning when there's, you know, no child or no, you know, nothing around you. You know, when you have nothing but lack surrounding you in your life, he says you won't be able to, that blessing can do what you can't count. That blessing will do what you cannot figure out. Amen. That blessing will do what you can't explain. Are you here today? He was standing there without a child, just standing there out there in the wilderness, feeling unfulfilled, but he had the blessing. He had the blessing. Abraham is standing there in the dark, and God tells him to look at the stars, and God's saying what his blessing can do. God is telling us here today, my blessing is bigger than you can count. My blessing is more than you can figure out. You can't contain it. You can't explain it. You cannot put God's blessing into words. You cannot wrap your mind around it. So Abraham just did what God wants all of us to do, and that's to believe it. Amen. Are you here today? God does not need you to be able to figure out his blessing. God does not need you to be able to count what it's going to do. He does not need you to try to contain it with your mind. He just simply wants us to believe it. Look at verse 6 again. Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord said, because this man simply believed it, I'm going to give him right standing. God annulled Abraham's sins just for simply believing what that blessing would do. Abraham could have taken account of the situation. He could have said, well, I'm 75. I'm living in tents. I'm out here in the wilderness. I have nowhere to go. I'm old. My wife's old. Nothing is happening there, you know, naturally speaking. And, you know, it was looking like his life was, you know, really starting to dwindle down. But Abraham looked up at those stars and said, I can't figure it out. I can't count them. I can't contain those stars. I can't explain those stars. But I'm simply going to believe what God said. God is not wanting us to be able to explain everything that's going to happen through that blessing. He doesn't want you to figure it out. He wants you to believe it. Do you believe that you are blessed? What's God telling them? Then that blessing is unlimited. The only way God's blessing could be limited is if we don't believe it, if we don't obey God, we don't act on it. Amen. Better to be standing there with nothing but the blessing, staring into a dark sky with a believing, obedient heart, than to be leaning on yourself. I'm going to say this again. Better to be standing with nothing but the blessing, staring into a dark sky with a believing, obedient heart, than to be leaning upon yourself or the arm of the flesh. I'd rather have nothing in my life but still have God's blessing than to have everything else without the blessing of God. Folks, the reason why I've been preaching these messages is to stir Christians to look at their life not as a sum of what they have, but to look at their life through the lens of the blessing of God. If you're looking at your salary, you're looking at the wrong thing. If you're just looking at your marriage to be fulfilling all the time, you're looking at the wrong thing. If you're going, you know, going to go through this life expecting everything in your job just to always be what you want it to be, you're looking at the wrong thing. God wants us to believe the blessing. Say, well, Pastor, I lost my job. You're still blessed. You're blessed. That blessing can do more than that job could have ever done for you anyway. That blessing is going to lift you up. It's going to raise you out of that situation. Amen. God said, look up at the stars and see if it could contain it all. Abraham is just glad he believed and glad he obeyed. And when he believed, God said, I'm just going to count it to him as righteousness. Folks, righteousness is what all of us need the most. Righteousness is not, everyone say not. It is not the ability to act right. Sometimes we think like righteousness is just, you know, being a good little boy or a good little girl, right? Righteousness is the ability to stand before God with confidence. Righteousness means right standing before God. There is nothing you could have in this life that would ever, ever, ever compare to having right standing with God. Amen. If you have been faithful to the Lord, if you have been, you know, you've been willing to do whatever he says to do, if you have that willing, obedient heart, I'll tell you what, you're richer than rich. Yes. I'd rather have a believing, obedient heart with the blessing of God than to have everything else without it. Are you here today? Praise the Lord. Now, real quickly, I want to remind you, go over there to Galatians chapter 3 again, the blessing of God. Do you have it here today?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm waiting for something good to happen. You know, nothing good seems to ever happen to me. Stop thinking that the blessing is something you're waiting to happen for. You know what I mean? You are blessed now. Do we have any born-again Christians here today washed by the blood of Jesus? Let's stir ourselves up a little bit. Amen. Because so many times Christians, they just start looking at their circumstances. They look at what they don't have. They look at, the price of groceries. They look at the inflation. They look at the economy. They look at all this stuff, you know, and they start to think that those things dictate what God's going to do in your life. You're blessed. You're blessed. Amen. Look at Galatians 3:9. We'll just go through this quickly again. I'm just going to keep reminding you. And then we're going to take a look at what happens when God honors you. When God honors you. Look at Galatians 3:9. It says, So then they, which be of faith, are what? Say, Pastor, I hate it. You just make us say all these things. You make me repeat this over and over. You know why? Because if you can't say it in church, when it's easy to confess the blessing, that I can guarantee you, you're not going to be saying it outside of church. This is where it's easy to confess the blessing of God. No, you don't have to be weird about it. You don't have to be flaky. You don't have to, you know, go stand up on every, you know, counter at the drugstore or something saying how blessed you are, right? But just, you know, you're walking with that knowing and that understanding. And in your home and with yourself, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Where did I tell you to go? Galatians chapter 3. It's in my Bible somewhere. Look at verse 9. We're already here. So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Go down to verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the what? The curse. How cursed are you in this life? 0% cursed, which means you are what? 100% blessed. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that Jesus was made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree or is nailed to a cross. Jesus wasn't just there carrying only your sins. Jesus was there carrying all of the curse on that cross. Every bit of the curse is on there. Every bit of depression was laid upon him. Every bit of anxiety was laid upon him. The Bible says that he carried our griefs and our sorrows. He carried our sickness and our disease. Hallelujah. Anything that is listed in the curse over there in Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting in verse 15 to the end of the chapter and beyond, any of those curses, you are redeemed from them. You're redeemed from those curses. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law because Jesus became a curse for us because it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree or a cross. Notice the verse isn't over. Notice the colon there. Notice he's still speaking here. Why was Jesus a curse on the cross? Look at verse 14. Why did he become that curse? That the blessing of Abraham would come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. God said, I want all the families of the earth to be what? Blessed. Blessed through who? Abraham and then Jesus Christ. Notice that straight line all the way from Abraham's day, reaching all the way into the day that you and I live in. Amen. We're blessed. We're blessed that Jesus Christ hung on that cross so that the blessing of Abraham, so that you would have right standing before God, so that all your sins would be washed and annulled and that you'd be exonerated, that you would become innocent before God, that he would reach down and place his honor on you, his favor upon you. Who are we? We are the sons and daughters of the living God. God has decided to take us into his family. He gave us his name, his freedom. Amen. So many Christians, we're just not thinking this way. Oh, I just don't like my life. I don't like my job. I don't like this. I don't like that. You're blessed. He made you blessed, not complainers. Amen. Praise the Lord that the blessing of Abraham. Now go down there to verse 29. Look at Galatians 3:29. I say, Pastor, you always bring up these verses because Christians don't make the connection between themselves and the blessing of Abraham. Israel just has a residue of that blessing on them. And they cannot be eradicated off the earth. That blessing, we're going to show you what it does. And if you be Christ, is there anyone here today that you belong to Christ? Some of you are like, I knew this was coming. I'm going to lift my hand. Lift your hand with some joy and excitement. Hallelujah. We belong to Jesus. You are Abraham's seed. Remember when Abraham said, but God, I have no seed. And God said, look at the stars, see if you can count them. And Abraham looked up and said, I can't count them all. Guess who he was trying to count? Guess who he was looking at, so to speak? Us. Abraham had no idea. By just being faithful, by just obeying God, by just believing what God said about the blessing, you know, by just simply saying, okay, the Lord said that I'll have seed someday that'll be like the stars. It'll be uncountable. Here we all are. Here we all are. Every Christian around this nation, every Christian around this globe, they're all blessed. Amen. Because Abraham believed God. You are Abraham's seed. God has given us to him. Here it is. God's faithful to that promise. Abraham could not have comprehended. He could not have seen all of us. Abraham could not have comprehended that one day that millions and literally maybe a billion people or more all over the earth, in every nation on this earth, would find their root of faith all the way back to his actions. What's going to happen for our kids, for generations that follow us, when we decide to believe what God said about us? God is not waiting for us to explain it. He is not waiting for us to understand it. He's waiting for us to believe it. I believe I'm Abraham's seed. I believe that the same blessing of Genesis 12, I believe it's on my life. I believe it is absolutely unlimited spirit, soul, and body. I believe that that blessing can provide every need. It can break every yoke and every burden. Amen. I'll tell you what, if the blessing don't get you happy, nothing will. Oh, praise the Lord. The blessing is yours. Stop trying to count it. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to wrap your mind around it. Start believing it. I'm blessed. Pastor, what could happen tomorrow? That's a good question. What could happen tomorrow? I believe the best could happen tomorrow. Say, Pastor, well, there's a lot of things coming on this earth. Yes, we say it around here all the time. The society is growing darker and darker, but the path of the righteous grows what? Brighter and brighter to the perfect day. Proverbs 4:18. I don't believe my life is getting darker. I don't. Say, well, Pastor, you act like you never go through challenges. Well, I'm here to tell you that I go through plenty of challenges. I've been through plenty of challenges. But if you want me to apologize for not acting like it, I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to apologize. Say, well, Pastor, you know, Pastor, we're supposed to act vulnerable. We're supposed to act sad and, you know, and all that. No, we're not. No, we're not. Of course we have emotions. Of course we contend with that. I'm just here to tell you that the blessing is what's going to lift us. Of course we can mourn the loss of a loved one. Of course we go through emotions that sometimes we can't control. But you know what? We should not let our emotions take us to places of depression and sadness and anxiety. Maybe we should go eat some more turkey. Get out the stuffing. go to Psalm 91. Let's go to take a look at what these blessings will do for you. God wants to honor you. He wants to honor you. Go over to Psalm 91. You know, people say, well, Pastor, you know, people are shouting and, you know, people are rejoicing. Yeah, that's exactly how God wants it. That's what he wants. Remember last week when we got all excited, we were reading Psalm 5:11. You know, it says, let them shout for joy. You know, first of all, I said, let them rejoice, all them that put their trust in thee. Let them rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because God defends them. Do you believe that God defends you? The Bible says, rejoice. Shout for joy. Say, well, Pastor, that's just weird. It's not weird to God. Go to Psalm 91. Hallelujah. Go over to verse 14. Now, we could read all of Psalm 91, and we might read different portions of it. Today, I'm going to give you three things that this blessing is going to do for you when God honors you. When God honors you. Let's read these last three verses. We're going to look at some other verses here in this chapter. But look at verse 14. It says, because, this is God speaking, you know, in in retrospect. God is talking, of course, through David. Because he has set his love upon me, because someone sets their love upon God, God speaking, he says, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and what? God says, I'll deliver you and honor you. God wants to honor you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's what he did with Abraham. That's the blessing of Abraham, for God to honor us. Verse 16 says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The word salvation there, it means a daily deliverance. I like that. Meaning whatever you're going through, whatever troubles that could arise every single day, God is there to be your helper. All right. Go back up to verse 14. Let me give you the number one thing that we're going to talk about today that the blessing of God will give you, and that's deliverance. Deliverance. You need it. You need it. Look at verse 14. He says, because he has set his love upon me. See, that's the condition of all these promises. Because he set his love upon me. Because they set their love upon me. Folks, I said this last week, and I believe I may have said it even before that. I said it on a Wednesday night as well. A lot of Christians, they don't realize that they have obedience problems with God, you know, and they know to do more than they do. And they know that God would have them to do something, and they don't do it. They disobey God. They know they're disobeying God, and that thing goes undone. Folks, just remember this. Never forget this. Anything that you leave undone can undo you. It can absolutely hurt your life if you leave something undone that you know you're supposed to do for God. And to set your love upon God means what? It means to obey him. What did Jesus say over there in the Gospel of John? He says, if you love me, right, obey my commandments, obey my instructions. So if we love him, we're going to obey him. Folks, we can sing all day and tell God how much we love him. Well, I'm going to say something that's going to get someone mad at me right now. You can say all day. We could sing praise and worship songs, you know, I love you, Lord, which is totally a good thing to sing. But we can say that. We can sing it. But God doesn't believe what we say. God believes what we do. You can say you love somebody. You can say you love God. But the Bible says over there in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated his love. That even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we know this, that love is something that's demonstrated, not just said, all right? You can tell God you love him, but he doesn't believe it until you obey him. Are you here? This is why, you know, a pastor should encourage, you know, their congregations, you know, how to obey God, you know, how to be in church, how to be a tither, be forgiving, you know, how to do these things, right? Amen. Because we don't want to see you left out of God's highest and best. Because he set his love upon me. Because he put me first. Because he was always there for God. He says, therefore, I will what? Deliver him. Number one, deliverance. Deliverance. This means, literally the word deliverance here, or to deliver, it means things that you escaped only because God helped you. Things that you've escaped only because God helped you. Folks, do you think there's some things that maybe we're even unaware of that we have escaped in this life because God helped us? Oh, I know it. I believe it. You might even be aware of some things that you escaped. Folks, here is the essence of believing that you're delivered. What is that scripture? Colossians. Here's a verse that changed my life. Here's a verse that absolutely changed my life. Go to Colossians 1:12, and then we're going to read verse 13. I wasn't planning on going here. Deliverance for a Christian. Giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. How many believe that God's given you an inheritance? You've got one right there. There's the promise of God. Notice the verse isn't done. What is this inheritance? Look at verse 13. It's talking about God the Father, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Let me ask you this question. Are you delivered right now? Yes, you're delivered. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you have already, notice this is past tense. This is something that's already been done. You are delivered from the power of darkness, and God has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You're out of the darkness. You're into the light. Amen. You are delivered, meaning you've escaped things that only God could help you escape. Before you were delivered, meaning when you were lost in your sin, there was a whole bunch of traps that the enemy had for you. And I'm here to tell you, even as a believer, he still has a bunch of traps that he sets for you. And we've got to know and understand that when we obey God, when we set our love upon him, when we're willing to have an obedient heart, all right, when we just simply obey the word, obey the spoken word of the Holy Spirit to us, when we obey, there are things that we escape that we never even knew. We never even knew. We never even knew that there was a trap. Let me show you this. There is one. You're in Psalm 91. Just go back up there. What verse is that? Go to verse 3. Look at Psalm 91, verse 3. This is in the same psalm. It says this, "Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler." The snare of the fowler. Now let's just make this illustration real easy for us to understand. Remember those old cartoons with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and all them, and they'd set up a snare. They'd bend over some tree and they'd tie the rope to it and they'd put a carrot in the middle, remember? And if they step foot in the middle of that rope, whoop, that thing would, you know, slam them back and forth. How many of you remember that? Well, that's a snare. You know, and obviously the Bible's not talking about you going and stepping in a trap somewhere, you know, literally like you're going to step in a hunter's trap or something like that. It's talking about traps that are set ahead in your future. The enemy is trying to trap people. He is trying to snare them. He's trying to hurt their life, trying to hinder them from the plan of God. And the Bible says that the Lord will deliver you because you are obedient. We have no idea. He'll speak to you and say, hey, you know, do this or do that. And it will seem so simple, but you don't realize you might have just saved yourself years worth of pain and heartache because you obeyed a simple word because God was giving you a detour around a trap that the enemy had set for you. Notice he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. Or literally the disease that everyone's talking about, meaning that it's coming upon the world. Boy, we've seen that even in our lifetime, haven't we? The pestilence is a disease. That's what it means. God will deliver you from traps of the enemy, and he will deliver you from the sicknesses of the world that are trying to hinder and destroy us. How many of you know we need this deliverance? Amen. God wants to honor you this way. You're back over here in Psalm 91, back down there in verse 14. Here we go again. He says this. He says, because he set his love upon me, I will deliver him. I will cause him to escape things that he couldn't even see for himself. I will set him on high because he has known my name. What does it mean when God sets you on high? It means he sets you out of reach of the enemy. You know, isn't that what you do for a little kid that's in the house? You know, you set, you know, things that could possibly harm them. You set them above so they're out of reach. Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe things that are valuable or whatever. Maybe there's a kid or a dog or an animal or a pet or something in the house, and you set them on a higher shelf or whatever so they don't get destroyed. In the same way, God will set you. He will lift you out of reach of the enemy in this world. I truly believe when God promised Israel back there in Deuteronomy 28, he says, if you will hearken to my voice and obey me, he said, I will set you high above all the nations of the earth. I will make it so you will not have to suffer the same fate as all these nations on this earth. Are you here today? The blessing of God is good. Deliverance. number one. It pays to obey God. It pays to know him. You could say it this way. Deliverance can also be for the things that God breaks off of your life. Burdens that God removes. Can you bring up Isaiah 10:27? Are you here today? Deliverance. Look at Isaiah 10:27. We'll just put it up on the screen for you. This is a passage that's, you know, familiar to a lot of people. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder, his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of what? The anointing. The anointing. You could say it this way, the blessing of God. The blessing of God breaks yokes. The blessing of God lifts burdens. This is why it pays to obey God. Amen. It pays to know him, to be faithful, to obey the word of God. Amen. How many things have you been delivered from just because you are faithful to the Lord? I believe it. Do you believe it? Do you believe that you've been spared of destruction even up to this point in your life because of obedience? Amen. All the blessing that comes from being faithful, it matters. It matters. Deliverance. Are you delivered here today? Yes. If you are a Christian, you are delivered from all the powers of darkness. You have been translated into the kingdom of God's Son. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, well, Pastor, I don't feel delivered. There you go with that feeling stuff again. See, our mind always wants to see it and feel it. You've got to let that go. You got to let that go. You got to believe it. And you know what? When you walk in the believing of it, you will see it. Amen. Amen. But just, you know, focus on the believing side of it. Can you bring up 1 Peter 5:6? Here's another scripture that tells us what God wants to do. The Bible says he wants to honor you. He wants to deliver you. Look at this. 1 Peter 5:6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Exalt you in due time. That means he wants to lift you up. He wants to bring you up out of that place in a troubled time. Now notice it tells us in verse 7, notice the verse isn't done yet. Verse 7 tells us how we humble ourselves before God, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. Folks, if we're worried, if we're carrying our own cares, it's because we believe we're better at it than God is. If you're just consumed with worry, you know, humility is to say, God, I can't carry this. I'm not designed to carry this care. I won't worry about this. I refuse to be troubled about this. Cast all your cares, cast your troubles upon the Lord. Amen, because he cares for you. What does he want to do? He wants to exalt you. He wants to exalt you. You got to believe it. Say, well, I'll just wait. If he wants to do it, he'll do it. No, God can't do anything if you don't believe it. I believe God wants to exalt me in this life. It almost sounds sacrilegious to say that. What we mean by that is that God wants to lift you up. He wants to put you in a better place. You know what I mean by that? He wants to break those yokes, destroy those burdens. He doesn't want you living in the curse of depression and anxiety, sadness all the time, fighting and strifing in your marriage, worried about money and all that stuff. Cast your care upon him. He wants to break depression off you. He wants to destroy mental anguish. He wants to remove yokes or burdens. There's a scenario in your life that's troubling you nonstop. He wants to lift that thing. He wants to break that thing. He wants to deliver you from that thing. There's scenarios that are absolutely dogging people that are in this room. I'm here to tell you, start believing in that blessing. Start believing that that care is upon him. He wants to deliver you. Go back to Psalm 91. Go to verse 15 now. Let's get to the second thing. We're going to wrap this right up. Look at verse 15. It says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I love this. Study out verse 15. It is so good. It is so good. Read a bunch of translations on it. It's really good stuff. Here's the second thing, which is also the purpose of this entire message. But we're just going to say, number one was he wants to deliver you. Two, he wants to honor you. And I'm going to explain exactly what we're talking about here. The word when it says, I will deliver him and honor him, that's exactly the order that I'm using for my sermon here today. The word honor, are you ready? It is the word to make weighty. Weighty. Say weighty, what does that mean? Or to make heavy. All right, let me explain that. It says to make weighty or to make something heavier or strong, or literally it also means to make abundant. All right, when God says he wants to give weight unto you, he's not talking about our physical stature. It means that he wants your words and your influence to have a greater effect and impact in this life. Praise God. When God honors you, he makes your words and your life weighty. When your life is weighty, it means that people listen to what you say. It means that you have influence in people's lives because they know you know God. And when they believe that you know God, they believe that you have an audience with God. Now, they can have an audience with God themselves, but when you're walking in the weightiness or the honor of God, that means that your words have greater weight and influence with people. They will listen to you more than others. People will be drawn to you by your influence. They will want your counsel. They will want your advice. They will want to model their lives after yours. Amen. God wants to honor you with influence. I'll tell you what, people that know God are very valuable. Yes. Praise the Lord. God wants you to see his abundance. Meaning that word abundance there, the word honor, it also means fulfilled. Fulfilled. We're going to talk about that. Praise the Lord. Fulfilled. God wants to show himself strong on your behalf. People are going to see that God shows up for you. People are going to see that God answers you. I mean, do you know people in your life that just God just answers them? I could start listing people right now. God just answers them. God just answers them. Amen. Praise the Lord. God shows up. He answers. Yeah, people see you as somebody with audience with God. God says, I will honor you. I will make your words weighty and influential. I will use your life and your influence to draw people towards the plan of God. Amen. He wants to deliver you. He wants to honor you. Look at verse 16, and we'll end right here. Look at verse 16. It says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. God wants to honor us, thirdly, with long life. Yes. Hallelujah. Long life is a blessing from God. Yes. Long life is part of that blessing. But you know what? When it says long life, it's not just how many years you get. So many times we think long life is a matter of, well, there's a certain number that makes long life. And obviously, you know, there is long life that, you know, we consider that goes beyond the average. But that's not what it's talking about here. It literally means, and you can see this word right here in this verse, it says to have a fulfilled or satisfied life. Satisfied life. And it just so happens that it's going to take a while to, you know, meaning to fulfill all the things that God has for us to do in this life. He's going to have assignments, you know, for us right into old age. Now that I'm getting a few years older now myself, we're right there. We are right here. I bet you it's even on the same page. Where is that scripture? I believe I'm looking right at it. Look at Psalm 92, verse 14. This is a verse that just started playing in my heart. And I said, I know where that is. And it happens to be on the very page that we're looking at right now. This is talking about the people. This is the blessing of God. This is about faithful people. They shall still, everyone say still, bring forth fruit in what? Old age. God wants you to be fruitful in old age. Our society demeans old age. God honors older age. You know that old statement that says youth is wasted on the young? You know, if you think, you know, and our society puts such a premium on youth, oh no, God puts a premium on age. Glory to God. God was going to bring, your oldest age should be your most fruitful age. What does that mean? That God still has assignments. God still has plans for your life, regardless of how old you are. And here's a good part of it. They shall be what? Fat and flourishing. Oh, so that's what's happening then. It's coming to pass. The word is manifested in my life. I'm trying to fight the word, must be. Maybe that's why I'm, you know, fighting a little harder these days to drop a few LBs, right? People that are faithful to God will bring forth fruit in old age. There's assignments for you. There's obedience in old age. You're not done yet. You know, now go back to Psalm 91:16. Long life is when you have completed all the assignments of God. Amen. You've been faithful to God. Your course is finished. You've run your race. And then it's time to go home. Satisfied. Amen. It means, verse 16 means to live a fulfilled life. Or you could say it this way: rest, stability, and contentment. Oh boy, now we're going to dig in here. Rest, stability, and contentment. A lot of Christians are not content. Perhaps, could I say it this way without it being dishonest or disingenuous, maybe even unintentionally so? Perhaps the thing that I see the most with believers these days is that they have no rest. Rest is not about how much sleep you get, though you do need that. Rest is a mentality that you are not pulled and dragged all over the face of the earth. Are you here today? I see many Christians that are bouncing everywhere. They are unsettled. They are not at rest. They're trying to do too much. They're overextended. They're too busy in life. Not because it's just a matter of how much sleep they get, but God wants us to rest in this life, where we go slow enough to hear His voice. We go slow enough to have time to spend with Him. We go slow enough to make sure we have time in His Word. We're going slow enough to be in church every Sunday. So many people that just go, 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 go. Listen, you're disobeying God by doing that. No rest, no fulfillment, unsettled, going here, going there, trying to do chaos. Your life, if it's not full of rest, stability, and contentment, I'm here to tell you something's wrong. God did not design us to be bouncing everywhere and never settled and never at rest. I see Christians all over who are dragged everywhere. And you know why? It's because truly in their heart, they're discontent. Discontentment always causes people to do one thing, and that's to run. Discontentment makes people run all the time. Running from job to job, running from church to church, running here, running there, trying to do everything that, you know, to fulfill every little desire of everybody around them, trying to take the kids to 100 different activities a day, all this stuff. Discontentment keeps people moving too much. Are you here today? Our society is designed to move at a speed that pushes God out of our lives. If God is being pushed out, you know, because we are never at rest, we're never settled, then I tell you what, verse 16 is going to be tough to have. God wants you to have a long, fulfilled, stable, restful life. Oh, God did not call you to sit around and worry. You know, oh, there's a verse that's just playing in my spirit. I believe it's 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Can you bring that up? Here's an assignment for all of us as we get ready to close. Here it is. The Bible says, study to be quiet. The word quiet means to be at rest. and to do your own business, to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Do what you got to do in this life. Obviously, you got to have a job. You got to work. You make income. But when we just start adding nonstop stuff, always on the run, never at home, never quiet, never with a word, never in prayer. Jesus was so careful not to be pulled on by this. Remember? Where is that? John chapter 11. Remember that? How many of you remember with Jesus, they came to him and they said, Master, Master, Lazarus, your friend, is dead. You know? And, you know, Jesus said, no, he's not dead. He's just sleeping. No, he was dead. Jesus wasn't lying there, but Jesus was just, and it explains that in the scripture, says that Jesus was talking about he was taking sleep and the rest of death, and that Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus back to life. Remember that? Jesus was somewhere within 2 miles of his friend's death. How many of you remember? How long did it take Jesus to get there? 4 days. 4 days he finally showed up. And remember how the scripture even said, they said, Lord, he's in there. He's in there. We've wrapped him up. And the King James says, for he stinketh. And if the Bible says that you stinketh, you must stinketh, right? And so, and they were saying that he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus, why didn't you run to get there? Jesus had no panic button. He was asleep on the back of the ship when it was sinking. Master, Master, don't you care that we die? Jesus did not rush to that either. You could not get him worried. You could not hit the panic button. Jesus wasn't anybody's, you know, ambulance or fire truck. You know, that's something that I've got to watch as a pastor. Of course, I'm here to help. But I tell you what, I refuse to have a panic button. If you're waiting for a pastor to panic over you, I won't. I won't do it. You're not supposed to panic. You're not supposed to panic over your children. You're not supposed to panic over your job or your money. Are you here today? God wants to give you a fulfilled, stable, content, and restful life. But if you're always on the run, always on the go, somewhere there's discontentment in there. Discontentment will keep people running and restless. It'll keep them just, you know, always, you know, busy in this life. But people that are fellowshipping with God, it's okay to move slow with God. Are you here today? God wants to what? Deliver you. He wants to honor you. He wants to give you long life. Why? Because you're blessed. Are you blessed here today? Are you blessed? Amen. That's the message, and I'm sticking to it. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. You are so good. Lord, thank you that you've blessed us with Abraham. Thank you, Lord God, that you have provided for us. Lord, thank you that you deliver us because we set our love upon you. You deliver us from the pestilence. You deliver us, Lord God, from the snare of the fowler, the enemy that seeks to trap us. Lord, thank you that you're with us in trouble. You honor us. You give us influence. You make our words weightier. You use our lives as example to draw people to yourself. Father, you give us long life, restful life, fulfilled life, content life, not worried life, not panicked life, not running to and fro everywhere, every day. Lord, you told us to study to be quiet. You told us to slow down enough in this life that we could hear your voice. You told us to slow down enough that we'd have a prayer life and a word life, a church life. Lord God, we bless you and glorify you today. With all eyes closed, every head bowed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The Bible says if you'll personally confess Jesus as your Lord and just simply believe that God raised him from the dead, you can't explain that. Your mind can't be wrapped around it. You just got to believe it. If that's you here today, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to walk up to you. But if you're here and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I want to be saved. I want my sins to be washed. I don't want to go to hell. There is a hell, but the good news is there's a heaven. If that's you, I'm going to simply ask you to raise your hand. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. When I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can pray and invite Jesus into your heart. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here within the sound of my voice? You'd say, Pastor, I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. God loves you. God loves you. He wants to wash us from our sins. He wants us to have that blessing of Abraham. Is there anybody else that would say, yes, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Well, we did have a hand. And so we're going to all pray here in just a moment. If you lifted your hand, go ahead, pray these words out of your mouth. Don't just think them in your mind. Pray them right out. We'll all be praying right along. And so right there in your seat, you can invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Confess Him with your faith. Let's all go ahead and let's pray this prayer together. Everyone speak these words with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised Him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I'll tell you what, isn't it good to see someone coming to know Jesus for the first time? There is nothing better than that in all that we do in ministry. Praise the Lord. Did you get some help here today? Well, what we're going to do, I know we've done things a little bit differently. We're going to be receiving our offering at the end of the service. You know, the Bible just simply tells us over there in Galatians chapter 6 that if we've received the word of God, it's right for us to do what? To sow or to give. Of course, we bring our tithe before the Lord. Amen. The tithe is the tenth part. And then, of course, the offering is anything above and beyond that. So this is how we're going to handle it here today, just doing things a little differently. You know, we've noticed a little bit, maybe a little bit more efficiency this way. You know, we have ushers at all the doors here in the sanctuary. What we're going to do, you can go ahead. There's offering envelopes there in the seat pocket in front of you. You can feel free to take one of those, fill that out. Also, if you're here visiting here today, we have a gray welcome card in the seat pocket in front of you. If you wouldn't mind, take the 1 minute it takes to fill that out. We have a text communication service. We have an online devotional if you'd like to sign up for those things. If you're visiting or if you've never filled out one of our welcome cards, take a minute to do so. We're going to pray, and then what we're going to do, instead of bringing the ushers to you, we're just going to send you to them, right? And so at the doors, as you're being dismissed, you can just drop your offering in the bucket as you go out. And then that way, it'll just be a little bit faster for all of us. Amen. Not that we're trying to get anywhere, just doing things a little bit different. Amen. Let's pray as we get ready to give. Father God, we just bless you. We glorify you, Lord. Let's all do this, everybody. Let's stand to our feet and honor God. Father God, we just praise you today. We glorify you. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be in the house of God. We bring our tithes and our offerings before you to worship you, to declare you as our provider. We say that your blessing is upon us. We believe we are blessed. Whether we're having the best day of our lives or going through the toughest challenge, we're blessed. Lord, thank you, Lord God. Bless you. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.